Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates, 8:05 Central Time on February 25th. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Jeffrey Kenning from Zion Lutheran Church in Dexter, Iowa, and St. John Lutheran Church in Casey, Iowa. Good morning, Pastor Kenning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. It's good to have some time with you this morning to get to study God's Word. Tell us about your congregations, Zion Lutheran Church in Dexter, Iowa, and St. John Lutheran Church in Casey, Iowa.
Yes, both small congregations in rural areas. Zion Dexter. Dexter is about 35 miles west of Des Moines, just off of I-80. St. John's Casey is about another 17 miles west of that, also just off I-80. We have two very good congregations. I've been here 6.5 years, and the folks here have welcomed me and my family in with welcome arms. It's a very good place to be.
Wonderful. Glad that you're there and serving with joy, delivering God's good gifts. This morning, we are studying Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. Anything you'd like us to know about the text before we dig in?
Well, this text is found in three of the Gospels. It's the parable of the sower and the seed. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record it. Sometimes I kind of joke to my congregation that if the Holy Spirit told us it three times, he must really want us to sit up and pay attention to it. So this is Mark's gospel. It takes place early on in his gospel. It's during Jesus' Galilean ministry, before he really sets his eyes on Jerusalem and the cross. This is in the early part, just part of his ministry.
I'm excited to talk about seeds and soils today. We get to talk about dirt, right?
Right. certainly is important here in southwest Iowa.
Absolutely. Well, today we are studying Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20 with Pastor Jeffrey Kenning from Zion Lutheran Church in Dexter, Iowa, St. John Lutheran Church in Casey, Iowa. If you have questions or comments, give us a call or an email. The phone number's 314-821-0850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Again he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. And other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." All right. Again, he began to teach beside the sea. Seaside is a great place to teach, apparently.
Sure. Well, it's the area in which he grew up. He grew up near the Sea of Galilee. Capernaum on the north shore sort of becomes his base of operations during his ministry. Even though he's rather an itinerant preacher, that seems to be his home base. Several of his disciples were fishermen. So he's preaching here next to the sea. There would have been a lot of people out in that area. And clearly they're coming to hear him.
So a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. So he's sitting in a boat on the sea, but the people are on the land beside the sea. They're on the shore there. And he was teaching them many things in parables.
Sure. And now what it seems is though, you know, you get a crowd, they're going to be speaking, listening to him speak to them, and they'll crowd in upon him, and probably eventually he backs up further and further till he's nearly into the sea, and finally says, let's put out in a boat so that I can get out a little ways and be able to speak, and the crowd won't press in upon him. So he speaks from the boat, must have had a clear voice, a voice that carried, spoke to the people who stand on the shore, and then he speaks in parables. And, you know, we probably heard during Sunday school or catechism class, parables are earthly stories that convey spiritual truths. And so that's what he's going to use here. He uses something that is very familiar to everyone. Certainly agriculture was a big part of the world in that at that time. Even for us, we understand agriculture. Even if we don't live in farming areas, we plant flower gardens or vegetable gardens. So he uses something that's very common to us. He's going to use this illustration of a sower and a seed.
And so he teaches in parables. In his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it."
Sure. Now, first of all, he gets your attention, right? Listen. Now, behold, that's not something that we ordinarily say, but, you know, listen up, looky here, pay attention. So he's trying to get people's attention. And listen carefully, because I'm going to tell you something that's important. And so the sower goes out to sow, and, you know, there's oftentimes an element of familiarity in the parables. There's oftentimes something also that's a little absurd. Certainly none of our farmers here in Iowa would sow seed like this fellow does, just scattering it about willy-nilly. But this one does, and of course we know already that the sower is God, who sows his word, and he's liberal with the spread of his word. He spreads it out to everywhere. He wants everyone to hear the word. So this sower goes out to sow. He sows some seed, and some, it says, falls upon the path. And of course Jesus is going to explain this later and tell us what happens. I don't know if we want to wait until we get to the meaning of the parable, so I guess I'll hold off on that. But certainly understand that the seed is out there, and the birds come and eat it up. I know I can look out right now in my backyard, my bird feeder. I fill it with bird seed every morning, and the birds come and mess it up all over the place. But they go down below, and some of the birds come and eat it off the ground. So they pick up the seed off the ground. And the same way here, that seed that falls on the rocky paths where it's easy to be seen, it doesn't get sunk into the soil. It's easy to be picked up by the birds, and so they do.
Before we get much further in the parable, what are some temptations to do with parables like this that might be problematic?
Well, the problem is we need to see the parable in the overarching view of it. We don't want to pick things apart too much and be too literal about things. There are some details that if we push the analogy or push the parable too far, you say, well, this doesn't make sense. So we have to look at it in the broad story of what is being told, and not nitpick it, but just understand the big message that's being told to us.
Very good. So He's teaching in parables. He says, "Behold a sower, listen, behold a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it." Verse 5, "Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil."
Sure, now you have soil that it's not very deep, and so when the sun shines upon it, it gets warm very fast, because there's not a big mass of it below that all has to warm up. Just a little bit can. It's amazing to me in this era of technology, even in our agriculture. I talk to our farmers around here, and when they go out, their GPS tells them where to plant, and they can actually plant in earth that's been hilled up a little bit. When they till the soil, they hill it up in some areas, and they can plant in there because that area that's hilled up a little bit will get warmer faster. And so here the sower sows some. It goes out into seed or into soil where there is not much depth, so it's very warm. It springs up very quickly. It's you might want to say somebody's zealous when they hear the word of God. Springs up very quickly. And yet, I think that's the next verse, right? When the sun rose, it was scorched and had no root. It withered away. there's no depth of soil there. It doesn't get a chance to reach down. And so when it gets hot, the soil dries out and there's nothing there, and the plant is simply going to wither away.
And then we continue with the parable. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed, verse 7, fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. So up until this, up through this point, none of the seeds have really had much success, much produce.
Right. They haven't borne any fruit at all. The seed that grows up among the thorns, well, it may grow up a little bit, but as soon as it gets up, you know how you have to stay on top of weeds out in your garden. Grows up among the thorns or among the weeds, and they simply choke it out, and it's unable to bear. So all these first three soils in which the seed falls, there's no fruit which is born at all. Some gets eaten up before it even begins to grow. Some grows and dries up very quickly, and some grows up and then is choked out before it can get a chance to bear fruit. So there's just no fruit whatsoever, no produce, no harvest that's going to be born from this.
And other seeds, verse 8, other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold.
Yes, so here some of the seed falls into good soil, nice, rich, black, loamy soil, and does very well. You know, here in Iowa, we're blessed to have wonderful soil. I grew up in Michigan, and I'll tell you, the soil around here is much better than the stuff that that we had in southeastern Michigan. But it's good, rich, black, loamy soil. It falls in, and what does it do? It bears fruit. Increases 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. You put one kernel of wheat into the ground, and it bears a whole head of grain. Same thing with barley, which wheat and barley certainly would have been common in that area back then. If we think that we put one kernel of corn into the ground, and we get a whole ear. So this is God's bountiful harvest that we see all the time as far as plants go, and Jesus uses that as an example because we all understand this. We all understand we put a few seeds into the ground and we get much more harvest than we get from the seeds.
And lastly in this section, and he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, we see this in other places in Scripture, in the Gospels as well, don't we?
Yes, we sure do. You know, it speaks to the fact that God wants us to hear his word. Also means that we need to pay attention. Again, Jesus is trying to convey a spiritual truth, a heavenly truth, by means of an earthly story. And so he wants to make sure that people understand, look, I'm not just telling you but something about your garden. Okay, somebody else can tell you about how to grow a good garden. You know how this is. I'm trying to tell you something there's a little more depth to it than that. I'm trying to use this story to convey a deeper truth, a truth about the kingdom of God, about the reign of God. And so he says, you know, if you have ears to hear, use them. Use your ears. Use your God-given reason. Use the training that you've had. The theological training, understanding God's word that you've heard to understand exactly what this means. So this is very important that he tells us that we'd better sit up and pay attention, that this is not just some cute story about your backyard vegetable garden, but there's something much deeper here.
Very good. Anything else about this first section before we go on to the next section, Pastor?
No, I don't think so. I think that we just want to take note of those three different situations in which the seed doesn't bear anything, and the fourth, and keep those in mind when Jesus then does come. He's going to explain a little bit to his disciples, but then come back and explain the meaning of the parable. You know, we're fortunate in this one. I guess I'm fortunate this morning that I've got a parable that I don't have to try to explain what it means, because Jesus is going to do that for us. But we ought to keep in mind what happens to those different kinds of seeds as we go on.
Very good, very good. We're studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Jeffrey Kenning from Zion Lutheran Church in Dexter, Iowa, and St. John Lutheran Church in Casey, Iowa. We're in Mark chapter 4. If you have questions or comments, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us, KFUO@KFUO.org. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our study here of Mark chapter 4 on His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Worldwide KFUO salutes our day sponsor on this Wednesday, February 25th, 2015. Today's day sponsors are Ed and Lois Peak. Today's day sponsor has made a contribution to Worldwide KFUO in honor of Ed and Lois' 48th wedding anniversary. Once again, we say thank you to Ed and Lois Peak of St. Louis, Missouri, today's Worldwide KFUO day sponsor.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson with an invitation for you to join me over the weekday noon hour for Moments of Assurance, your lunchtime spiritual recipe. You'll enjoy encouraging scriptures, a bit of Bible history and trivia, news items, humor, the kids' corner, and more, all mixed in with faith-strengthening sacred music, a blend just right for your midday hour. So join me, won't you? That's Moments of Assurance over the weekday noontime hour here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is February 25th, 8:21 Central Time. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Jeffrey Kenning from Zion Lutheran Church in Dexter, Iowa, and St. John Lutheran Church in Casey, Iowa. We're in Mark chapter 4 today, verses 1 through 20, looking at the parable of the sower, and going to take a look at the explanation or the purpose of the parables here in just a little bit. Let's go to the listener lines first. Let's go to Lael in Webster Groves. Good morning, Lael.
Good morning, Andy. I had two thoughts that came to mind about this, the soil thing, and I don't know which way would be. Anyway, I'll just present it.
Sure.
The first aspect is that we know that farmers prepare the soil to receive grain to get their best yield. So that's what the Lord does for us in preparing us. That's what John did. He warned us, or he made people ready to receive Christ, you know, in terms of the soil. But then on the other hand, the second point is when a lot of us come as soil that's already dried or, you know, stony or rocky or whatever, that's how he comes to us. We're in that plight, you know, of dryness. And so we can't come to him. We're not already prepared, I guess is what I'm saying. Our soil isn't prepared till he comes to us to prepare it. I don't know, does that make any sense?
How
those two aspects?
Sure. Does this parable speak specifically about us and our condition prior to any reception of gifts from God?
Right.
All right, Pastor, what do you think?
I think that's a very good question. Yes, the soil that we come with, oftentimes we are the soil in the story, and we come with rocky soil or soil that doesn't have much depth. And the question is, what would you do in your backyard vegetable garden? Well, you'd amend the soil. You'd put manure in it or compost or peat to make it better, to make it be more hospitable to the seed that comes in it. Well, this is something that God does for us as well. He, if you want to say it this way, he amends the soil that we are. And he does this through the preaching of his word, through the reception of his sacrament. His word, remember that he speaks of his word as softening our stony hearts. Well, that's what it does. He breaks down the stony garden bed that is our heart. He does this through the preaching of his word. Certainly, as we continue to grow, he makes our soil more rich and loamy, more hospitable to the seed by regular participation in the sacraments. So this is what God does for us.
It's all the work that God does for us. Thanks for your call today, Lael. All right, Pastor, let's go on to verse 10 in the next section. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." Let's pause there and take a look at just this first part of this section here. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. They've got questions. You're talking in parables. We're going to have questions, right?
That's right. he has just said, while he preached the parable, he has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples' ears are not ready to hear that. They're not ready to tease out the spiritual truths that he's taught. Now they don't want to look like schnooks, so I guess they do it while he's alone. They gather around him and say, "You know, look, we're your followers. We're supposed to know this stuff, and we don't understand what you're speaking about. So help us out a little bit here." And so he tells them, he says, "You know, to you, you're my disciples, you're my followers. It's been given to you to know the kingdom of the secret of the kingdom of God. But this insight only comes from God himself. This is not something that's going to come through your own reason, but maybe through your sanctified reason that's been sanctified through the hearing of God's word." And people who are outside the kingdom of God, they're going to have a tough time understanding what's said here. And so he needs to sit down and he needs to go through it with his disciples. They're still at an early stage, and there's much they still don't understand. So Jesus needs to go through and explain things to them.
To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven.
Right, and so this is what the Word of God does. You know, Hebrews tells us it's like a double-edged sword. It does two things. It tends to, in some cases, it softens stony hearts. We know also that some people are confronted by the Word of God, and all it does is serve to make them harden their hearts even more. But he says to the disciples, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. You're going to be the people who take my word and take it out to the nations of the world, through your preaching, through your writing. Certainly we have the accounts of the Gospels. We have St. Paul's accounts. And so they're going to take it out, but other people, they're not going to understand it. My word that's spoken through you, the inscripturated word, that's going to help people understand. And yet, there will be people who hear the word of God, and they will harden their hearts to it. This is an unfortunate fact that so many in our world do exactly that. They hear the word of God, and all they do is dig themselves in and harden themselves even harder against it.
Let's take a look at verse 13 and following. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? And the sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. So he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?"
Right. He sort of chides them a little bit here that these are his followers. They're going to be the ones that are going to teach others. What's wrong with you guys? why are you so dense that you don't understand? I've been teaching you for quite a while, and you still don't understand things completely. So there is a little bit of chiding of the disciples here. But then he doesn't just leave it there. He doesn't say, well, you fellows are blockheads. I want nothing more to do with you. He then patiently explains the parable to them so that they understand it. I think this is this is good pastoral care, that there's an element of law and gospel here. He kind of chides them with chides them gently, and then comes back and teaches them about the kingdom of God, about the meaning of the parable.
And the sower sows the word.
Right. This is our Lord. Our Lord goes out and sows the word. He does that. He does that in many ways. He does it through the inscripturated word. He does it primarily through the preaching of his word. But he does it through individual Christians as well, explaining what they've been taught, what they know, explaining the hope that is in them to their friends, to their neighbors. So God's word goes out. It goes out in many ways. This morning, right now, it's going out over the airwaves, and I suppose that later on today we'll say that it's going to go out over fiber optic cables, because I guess I could probably download the podcast of this program that's mm-hmm. going on. So the word goes out in many different ways, but it's God who's sowing his word.
Amen. So the sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word that is sown in them.
Yes, what a tragedy here. Okay, that we saw that the seed that falls along the path, it's devoured by the birds. Jesus says, "Here's Satan coming in." Okay, he takes it away. This is what he wants to do. He wants to question God's word. So he's going to cause us to doubt. You know, can you really believe those opening chapters of Genesis? Can you really believe all the miracles recorded in both the Old and New Testament? Can you really believe in a virgin birth? Can you really believe in a resurrection? These things that are absurd to us modern people is what the devil wants to say to us. And God says, no, we need to resist those sorts of things. We need to stand firm on his word and affirm the full truth of all the scriptures, from Genesis 1, verse 1, all the way through the end of Revelation. We need to affirm the truth of all that. Because if we don't have that, the devil simply wants to come and grab the word away before it is allowed to do any work in our life whatsoever.
And these are the ones sown on, let's see, are we on rocky ground now? I think we just did the path, yes.
Yes.
And so now we're on rocky ground. These are the ones on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away.
Yeah, now, you know, there's just... I don't know whether this is an important observation or not, but this one in the middle, the one that falls on rocky ground, in the parable itself and in the explanation, he spends more time, more words talking about both about that one than he does either of the other ones. And I don't know if that's just coincidence or if it's because this is a big one for us. And that is that, you know, when it's sown on rocky ground, when tribulation or persecution arises, especially on the account of the word, this is when bad things happen in our lives. You know, I lost my job, or I or a loved one came down with a terrible illness or was diagnosed with a disease, or why did God take my loved one away from me? The devil wants to use all these sorts of things and say, much as we heard this past Sunday, when he says to Jesus in the temptation, "If you are the Son of God," here he wants to say to us, "Well, yes, you know, you think you're a child of God, but if you were a child of God, would he really let these kind of things happen?" And so the devil wants to use these things as a wedge to try to drive us further and further away from God, to say that certainly a loving God wouldn't allow this or that to happen. So Jesus spends a lot of time, Jesus spends more words on this one, and I think with good reason, because this is the one that catches a lot of people, that when tribulation comes into our lives, we're tempted to doubt God, to doubt his love, to doubt his concern for our well-being.
So we've covered those sown along the path, those on rocky soil. Now it's the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful.
Sure. And so the word is sown. It's planted well, but then it grows up, and soon other things take over. Well, you know, that Sunday morning just really kind of ruins the weekend. Why, it's right in the middle of Saturday and Sunday. If I didn't have to go to church, I wouldn't have to hear this. Things are more important to me. You know, that's my opportunity to sleep in, or I can get in a little bit of extra work, getting paid double time. And these things want to keep us away from God's word. And so when our eyes get focused on the things of this world, he says the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things, all those things, again, the devil wants to use those and say, you know, don't focus your eyes on the cross. Don't focus your eyes on Jesus. Look at, maybe we ought to go back to Sunday again. Look at all the kingdoms of the world, Jesus, the devil shows Jesus. Look at all the wonders of this world that are more important than you hearing the word of God. This is how the devil wants to tempt us and bring us away and let those thorns of the world choke out the word.
But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold.
Yes, and in the life of a Christian, the word can't help but have fruit. And, you know, I think Jesus is just showing, you know, different amounts. The word bears fruit in different amounts. It's all good. The fact that an ear of corn, that a kernel of corn bears more kernels on an ear than one kernel of wheat grows on a head of wheat, doesn't mean that corn is more is better than wheat or something like that. But this is all good. That we do bear fruit in our lives. We bear fruit in our lives as far as our witness to other people, as far as doing good works towards our neighbor. Faith is always active in love. This is James' point. This is in John's first epistle. They tell us that that faith can't help but bear fruit. You know, I'm reminded of one of my favorite hymns, "Salvation Unto Us Has Come." We have this stanza 9: "Faith clings to Jesus' cross alone and rests in Him unceasing, and by its fruits true faith is known, with love and hope increasing. For faith alone can justify. Works serve our neighbor and supply the proof that faith is living." And there's what happens when you have the word of God, when it springs up in you, the Christian can't help but bear fruit in testifying, in witnessing to Jesus, bear fruit in good works towards the neighbor. This is how God takes care of our neighbor, through us.
Amen. Well, Pastor, looking over the text as a whole today, looking at the parables here and the purpose of the parables, anything else you'd like for us to know, or anything else looking at it as a whole that you'd like for us to learn today?
Sure. I'd just like to reiterate, and I think that this was the question by your caller was a very good one, and that is, you know, a lot of times we want to say, well, what can we do to make ourselves better soil? Well, we don't really do anything. God makes their better soil. But what is important for us is that we be regularly in the Word. You know, if you have if your church puts out the portals of prayer, you certainly have the treasure of daily prayer here, and this is tied to the lectionary that you'll find in the front part of your hymnal. There are different groups, Higher Things and Lutheran Hour Ministries put out devotional books, of course, especially during Advent and Lent. Make use of these things and make regular use of the word and sacrament that you'll find in church, because this will amend the soil. This will make certain that you have good, rich, loamy soil that the seed can spring up and bear good fruit in.
Amen. Well, thank you for helping us study God's Word today. Our guest pastor, the Reverend Jeffrey Kenning from Zion Lutheran Church in Dexter, Iowa, and St. John Lutheran Church in Casey, Iowa. Pastor Kenning, thanks so much for helping us study Mark chapter 4 today.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Thank you. God bless you and all the saints there at Zion and Dexter and St. John Lutheran Church in Casey, Iowa. Coming up in just a little bit, It's Witness Wednesday with the Reverend Mark Wood, Director of Witness and Outreach for the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. Some practical tips telling the good news of Jesus in your everyday life. Stick around for more His Time right after this break.